the wind blew the grass on the farm of Merry Hill. Then the smoke billowed out of the factories and mills. From the Round Oak Steelworks, Marsh and Baxter's, a town began to grow. All this history around them, I wonder if they know. Oh, well, some folks smelted iron, while others worked with glass. When Oscar Deutsch set up his cinema, did he know that it would last? And the people on the high streets go about their day-to-day. It's our little slice of history, and it is here to stay. Where the people are like family, they'll never let you down. So take my hand and let's explore the wonders of this town. This is the beauty of Briley Hill. This is the beauty of Briley Hill, where we go picking berries, riding bikes, supermarkets, flying kites, gymnastics, climbing trees, jumping up and down with the trampoline. The beauty of Briley Hill. This is the beauty of Briley Hill. So now come on round the market, what is in store. They've got food and shoes and vintage toys. Oh, who could ask for more? And there's scallywags and zigzags and so many new cuisines, while the Dell has even hosted the Italy football team. And the people are like family, they never let you down. So take my hand and let's explore the wonders of this town. This is the beauty of Briley Hill. Climbing trees, jumping up and down on the trampoline. The beauty of Briley Hill. This is the beauty of Briley Hill. This is the beauty of Briley Hill. This is the beauty of Briley Hill. And I wonder what the future of Briley Hill will bring. As I look out of my window and hear the church bells ring, we might be actors, chefs or midwives, but some things will never change. Like the love we feel for family will always stay the same. And I wonder what the future of Briley Hill will bring. As I look out of my window and hear the church bells ring, we might move to other countries, but there's one thing that I know. That's the feeling this town gives you, that feeling we call home.
We were born and bred in Briley Hill.
That feeling we call home.
And we've got
that feeling
lots of vision. It's going to get better.
People and their lovely people.
That
and their honest people.
Home.
Keep out of trouble.
Will do, will do.
All right.
Do my best.
Well, there you go. Welcome to Look Up Briley Hill. Another amazing week in Briley Hill. Lots going on.
As you probably noticed if you've been into town. And that song is The Beauty of Bridal Hill. We always bang on about that at the beginning of the show, but this week it's very special because we've got Tim here from the Bellringers Group. Have you got a name, the Bellringers Group?
I think we just call ourselves the Bellringers, of St. Michael, or the Bridal Hill Bellringers.
Okay. And you are featured on that very song that we just played. You can hear the bells of St. Michael's on there.
We are indeed, and a year or so back, it was the 100th anniversary of the War Memorial and the opening of Marsh Park. And we had a request by the Ancient College of Society Youths. All these names are like Harry Potter.
It does sound like Harry Potter.
But they wanted to come and ring a peal, which is an extended piece of ringing for 3 hours.
Yeah.
And they wanted to come right in the middle of Heritage Open Week, between just before the 100th anniversary of the park, and it's a couple of months before the War Memorial. But we said, well, great, come and do the peal, and would you dedicate it to the 100th anniversary? So they did that, and because I'm a bit geeky, I stood in the churchyard and recorded some of it.
I recorded some of it in the cold outside as well, but I only got snippets. You probably got a lot more of it and a lot more professionally than I did.
Yeah, probably about 4 or 5 minutes. I mean, given a peal goes on for 3 hours, it's not a huge amount. But then when The Beauty of Bridal Hill was being written in collaboration with Brockmoor Primary Schools, Philkins Drift asked, have you got a recording of the bells of Bridal Hill? And that's really the only decent 3 or 4 minute recording. So I sent it to Philkins Drift.
Chris at Philkins Drift.
And he just said, oh, that's brilliant, because they're in the right key for the song as well. So that was just coincidence.
It does sound really in key.
Well, it does. And on Facebook, I think someone commented that they became quite tearful when it said, oh, I look out my window and hear the bells of Bridal Hill, and then it fades in and fades out the bells. So it actually worked really well, but we didn't intend that to happen. It was just
cried. I cried when we were in the production studio, which was here. We were doing some production here the first day.
Laughter or...
We had the kids in. You probably haven't been in those rooms, but in the big studios, there's a massive studio. You could get a whole brass band in there or a huge orchestra.
Yeah.
And we had the kids in there, and then we're through a glass window in the like mixing studios. And so that was the first time I'd heard the song, because it was all in the system, or as it was in that stage. But they were playing it, and so I was starting to hear that. I'd seen the lyrics written down, but I was starting to hear it. I was starting to hear the bells coming in over the top. And then the kids turn up, beautiful kids came in, and put their heart and soul into that song. And the little cheers they were doing and little things that we asked them to do, they all did it perfectly on time. And just, it got very, I wasn't the only one crying in there, because it was very emotional. It was a lovely day. And, you know, it was great to sort of come to the end of that project by making something nice. Sometimes you come to the end of the project and it's gone. But this is one of those great projects where we've still got the song and it's still living on. And it's on our show every week. And
it is.
The bells are a good part of it.
Isn't it catchy as well? I catch myself sort of humming along to it, and then have to ring to sort of hum Van der Valk to me to get it out of my mind. But it's really good. And the score.
Yeah.
Were fantastic, Brockmoor Primary
School. Yeah, we want to work with them again.
Yeah, well, they were super, and they'd been categorised by Ofsted, whatever that's worth. I've a lot of cynicism about it myself.
So it's Brockmoor Primary School.
It's Brockmoor Primary, as in need of improvement. And the school has just come on leaps and bounds. And this year they were categorised as good, which is a huge improvement, massive, as big a leap as you could do.
Yeah.
And it was just lovely that in the Ofsted report it actually mentioned The Beauty of Bridal Hill is a community project, and they praise it up for a good way of children interacting with the local community.
I'd love to think that they still sing it at school assemblies and things as well.
I can't say whether they do or not. No. I'm a governor there, so hence the plug.
We could twist somebody's arm and find out.
Yeah, a genuinely heartfelt plug, because I do think the school's done a fantastic job.
Before we go into the first song, I should introduce Justine as well, who's here.
Hello,
Hello Justine.
Hello, Tim.
Nice to meet you.
I got carried away.
He's terrible,
talking about
it's all
bells.
About him.
I get very excited about the bells. Now, I said this would be a quick introduction, but, you know, it never is, because you've got so many interesting things to say, Tim. But what we wanted to focus on during the show is the film that you made about the new training equipment that you've got, which we'll talk about in detail later. But if anyone wants to, after the show, obviously, wants to go away and Google that, it can simply type into any search engine, The Bells of Bridal Hill, and it comes up, and you can watch the video. So we'll be talking about that during the show. Cue it up ready and watch that after the show. It's a lovely little... It's about 8 minutes long, isn't it? It's not a big one.
10 minutes.
10 minutes long, so worth watching. And I was saying to you the other day, Justine, with the Beauty of Bridal Hill song, I know I'm banging on about that a bit, but I think it'd be interesting to get Chris back. I know Chris did come back as a result of that project being so successful. Live Music Now did fund him coming back into Brockmore and doing another term there, and he's done some more work with them, which is fabulous bonus from that. But we thought it'd be good to get him back again, hopefully for free, if we can. And I thought it'd be nice to try and do a version of The Beauty of Briley Hill, but set in the past. So as if the children were writing it 100 years ago and looking at the future that we have now. But yeah, we'll have to think about that with Chris. Maybe get a couple of pints of cider in him and then see where we go from there. And Tim, often you're suggesting that you're an old fogey too. I remember a recent meeting and what was it going to be? The miserable old men table, you said.
The miserable old gits.
With you and,
yeah.
and Ken.
Grumpy old gits.
Grumpy old gits from Ken at the Hawbush as well.
I mean,
we should set
was,
that table up for you.
We should, but the thing was, Ken suggested that yeah. he and I, and I'm just sitting there, says, me and Tim ought to have a grumpy old gits table. Yeah. So. But fair comment.
That was the day that I got voted to be put in charge of organising Christmas, which is going as smoothly as can be expected. But no, it's good. There's some good things coming on. The one thing that came out, I don't know if you were at the meeting after that, but one of the ideas the police put forward was to have a secondary project running alongside the Santa's Toy Appeal, where they would work with bicycles, trying to find children's bicycles, adult bicycles, that could be a second bow string for the children's toy appeal for Christmas, so that you know, there would be bikes found, collected, you know, donated, and then they'd do them up and add them. So that could be a great thing that came out of that idea that you had about setting up a separate Christmas
found,
table.
I think you ought to clarify that.
Yeah,
so,
not, so some,
oh, look, there's
no,
a bike.
Donated.
Donated. They will be requesting that people donate bikes, and they will be offering services, hopefully, to repair those bikes and get them up to standard and
super.
Clean them all up, which is great. Yeah, so there we go. Anyway, back to the business of the day, which is the video, The Bells of Briley Hill. And you can search for The Beauty of Briley Hill, The Bells of Briley Hill. We're having a whole catalogue. We will have to move into other letters of the alphabet soon. But The Bells of Briley Hill is an amazing little video. I'm on it at some point. I think you've
got
on
a very big beard on that one.
Yeah, and you've had news coverage, you've had radio coverage, you've had newspaper coverage on it. And I believe there's some German TV crew trying to track you down at the moment to be on a German show. So,
yeah, it's. I mean, as I came out tonight, it had actually hit 13,000 views on
wow.
YouTube, which is
that's
extraordinary,
really good.
And I've no idea why.
For a film about bell ringing, that is quite extraordinary.
Well, it's one of the top numbered views, if that's how you measure it, of bell ringing videos. There are a few more than that. But it for the first few weeks, it kind of got to about 1,600, 1,700. I thought, that's a really good, I'm really pleased with that. And then last week, for some reason, it just suddenly started to take off. So when we met on Wednesday at the community forum meeting, we were just under 6,000. And today, Friday, we're on just over 13,000.
Wow. So is it to do with the ring for the king?
I think it might be. I'm not quite sure. And I've suddenly got interest in this, is how the YouTube algorithm rings.
Yeah.
Works, rather. And it might be people looking up ringing bells and looking at something, and then it's picking, oh, here's another video about
yeah,
bell
ringing.
Here's
a popular video, and it brings it forward.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So it could be that, but we're all really pleased about it.
Oh, yeah. If
it gets more people to look at it, brilliant.
Yeah. Absolutely, and amazed. And so anyway, for some reason, this video was released by Historic England, and it was really their conception, and they paid for it to be done. And it was released on December the 23rd, and I thought, what a terrible day. You know, it's like when everyone's finishing for Christmas. When I used to be in politics, that's the sort of day you'd release bad news. So I was a bit in trepidation about what this video would look like. But they also put out a news release, and suddenly I had a phone call from BBC Midlands Today saying, can we come and film? We really like this concept of the film is about a simulator in the tower, and also how bell ringing lake relates to its local community. So we said yes, and then 10 minutes later had a film from Central News, which really freaked me out, because I think, oh my God, that's the enemy. Or that, how am I going to keep these two together? Or apart, rather, together would have been fun. Central said they would come, but then they didn't show up. But BBC did, and they did some more filming, and they managed to compress the whole story into a 2-minute section on their And Finally part of the show. And that was shown on January the 5th. We had a lot of interest from Radio WM as well, so I did a couple of interviews with them. And then about 10 days ago, the German public service broadcasting TV got in touch and said, oh, we've seen the BBC website, we want to do something.
So it's like a German version of the BBC?
I think so. I'm not an expert in German TV, I did Google it, as you do, and they said, oh, it's the public service broadcaster, so I guess that would be the equivalent. And they're saying they want to do something about the coronation.
You never know.
And so for the coronation, which will be on the 6th of May, when there will be ringing across the country, including Briley Hill, of course, could they come and do a film as well? So they did say, could they come tonight, the night I'm talking here? In fact, they can't logistically get their act together, but they are thinking of coming in the next few weeks. So I'm polishing up my German, just so I can tell them, let's speak English when they come.
Have you looked at bells? Is bells bells in German?
Or? Do you know, I haven't looked it up. There's this thing when we're conducting where something called call changes, where each bell has a number. So you say which bell should follow which other bell. So you might say like 5 to 6. So I know that's 5 to 6. So we were kind of laughing last week at practice, let's do it in German, but we quickly abandoned that.
It probably is like work. Mein Dingle Dongle or something like that.
Frank, I think you might be being a little bit.
No, not at all. Oh. Do you know what?
Have you got Chuck Berry?
No.
My Dingling. I think you
should have put that on, yeah.
We'll try and find
Missed
that.
Mr. Trick there.
But in German, mobile phone is Mein Handy, which I always think
is
an interesting one. Mein Handy.
Yeah. I think, but it's a good description, really, isn't it?
Yeah.
Just 2 syllables instead of 3, mobile phones.
I do love German. I often walk around the house quoting whatever little German I know quite loudly.
Phone is mein Handy.
Mein Frau. There's mein Handy. Anyway, we're going off the track.
Don't encourage him.
The film itself, like you did touch upon, is about a simulator that you've got in, thanks to some funding from Historic England, who've been helping out with many projects around that area, the War Memorial and other projects along the High Street. But one of the projects they were keen to fund was your simulator. So tell us a little bit about how that works.
Right, so a bit of context. Jen, my wife, and I read a tweet about 10 years ago, saying we never hear the bells of St Michael's anymore. So I got in touch with David Hoskin, who's over the Briley Hill team for the Church of England, and said, look, I've had this tweet. What's the situation? And he said they just couldn't get ringers anymore. Now, I was on holiday at the time, and I thought, oh, that might be a nice hobby, just pop up in a Sunday and ring the bells for a bit, and it's a way of contributing back to the community. Little did I know how much it took to actually get to that stage. Anyway, a project called the Birmingham School of Bell Ringing had just started in Birmingham. So when I Googled, that came up top. I got in touch with them and they kind of said, well, why are you interested in learning? Which I thought was a bit strong, you know. Yeah. I want to learn to read about why. But it was much nicer.
It is very Harry Potter, isn't it?
It is very Harry Potter. But they, what they were doing is that they were just starting up the school. And they were just interested in, you know, what adverts attracted people to contact them. Anyway, we enrolled there. It was £5 a lesson every Saturday morning at St Paul's in the Jewellery Quarter. And Jen and myself knew nothing about Bell. We hadn't got a clue what
it was.
That's
the lovely church with the vaults outside and the big graveyard outside. Is that the one?
It's not. There's a big green. I think most of the gravestones, there are still some gravestones, but I think most have disappeared. But it's in the Jewellery Quarter, and it's a beautiful setting. It's not far from the centre of Birmingham. So we went and learnt there, and we didn't realise at the time, but the people who were teaching us are some of the best bell ringers in the country, and hence the world, because really bell ringing is predominantly a British activity. Mm. So if you can imagine, if you turned up to the park for your local football team and David Beckham and Diego Maradona turn up to teach you, it was a bit like that. But we didn't know that there was this parallel universe of competitive bell ringing, and that Birmingham are the creme de la creme of bell ringers. So we were very lucky in how we were taught. Then in 2016 or 2017, we were given the keys of the Tower of St Michael's. And we started ringing their practices on a Friday night.
When you say the keys, had it been locked up until that time? Did anyone ever go up there before you?
No, there was someone who was running it, but she found it really difficult to get bell ringers. Mm. And what has happened, and I think there's a lesson in this for us all, The Briley Hill bell ringers historically were brilliant bell ringers. I mean, really top-notch bell ringers. But the problem was that they didn't bring new learners on. So they were crack peel band. But when they literally started to die, bell ringing died out at St Michael's. So if there was to be any ringing, they had to invite people from outside the area in. So that's a lesson to me. And we worked together in other projects and always banging on about we need a succession plan. Yep. We need to be bringing new people in.
Yep.
And in a way, part of that's driven by what happened to Briley Hill Bells. So really around about 1992, when the leading bell ringer, Cliff Skidmore, died, it pretty much died out. There was just occasional visiting ringers. They tried to ring court appeals on a Sunday after service. But it was very, very difficult. And that's not a criticism of anyone, that it was really difficult.
Just the way it was, yeah.
So when we took over, we were keen to introduce it again. We had lots of help from the friends we'd picked up at the Birmingham School of Bell Ringing. Some still come across to help us on Friday night. And bit by bit, I'm very proud to say, we're not the world's best bell ringers, but we've got better. I'm not sure people can hear that themselves. But on a Sunday morning now when you ring, and that's just the Briley Hill ringers, I look and think, that's okay, we've done
we
all right.
We love listening
today.
To it on a Friday night and a Sunday morning.
Yeah.
Often so, let the dog out and then I'm stood there by the back door for a
I thought you'd been ringing longer than that, though, because I swear, well, they've obviously rung periodically in between that time. But it was only, I think it was, I used to sit in the summer particularly, glass of wine in the garden, Friday night, listen to the bells. And I could have sworn it was earlier than 2016, but it must not have been. But then when lockdown happened, I really missed the bells. That really, it was weird not having them ringing.
And that was a surprise because when we started ringing on social media, there were just loads of positive comments and we weren't looking for that. So it was a real surprise. But saying, oh, isn't it lovely to hear the bells at St Michael's and... You know, I remember when I used to go and ring them and so on. But after COVID, because we had to stop pretty much for a year because the ringing room is an enclosed space and you weren't supposed to have more than two people, I think. So it was difficult. But when we came back, I think you posted something on Facebook actually thinking about how lovely it was to hear the bells again. Someone from Seegers Lane, which is next to the church, pushed a card, an anonymous card, but saying from residents of Seegers Lane under the door saying, welcome back, how lovely it is to hear the bells again. And then in the picnic in the park for the 100th anniversary of Marsh Park, I was talking to one of my neighbours, which disgracefully, although we lived about 20 metres away, I'd never spoken to in the 12 years he'd lived there. So that was a great, great event to go and meet people locally. But he said that they also, when they heard the bells, it was almost like a relief, a sound saying, COVID's over, we're back to normal now. And again, we were really surprised with that. So the lesson to us is that people overwhelmingly, not unanimously, but overwhelmingly do like listening to the bells and we do get really good feedback.
Mm. Mm.
But talking about sustainability, we want to bring new ringers in. And that means training. And it's a bit like if you're learning the violin, while you're training, it doesn't sound that good. Mm. So we wanted a way that we could actually get them to hear the bells without disturbing people outside.
And putting headphones on everybody in Briley Hill would be too expensive.
It probably would be too expensive. So we got in touch with someone called David Bagley, who does a product called a bell ringing simulator. And all that means is you tie the bit that hits the bell, called the clapper, you tie it to the side of the bell, tight against the side, so that it can't move. So when you swing the bell, it itself doesn't make a sound.
Well, Justin asked me how you did that. I said that they put a jock strap on it, which is the best way I could think of explaining.
Well, if you replace jock strap, I'm sure you've been pretty immodest here, Frank, with a tyre, an inner wheel tyre, a bicycle tyre. That's an inner tube of a bicycle tyre. That's how we did it. Yeah. To first, it's like giant elastic bands. But actually, one night I was ringing on the simulator and I thought I was going to have a heart attack. And I realised the muscle to actually stretch an inner tube. And a couple broke, so I'm quite proud. I managed to break an inner tube over the top of the bell. Was actually doing my muscles in. So we've now got a more refined way of a twisted rope and a stick, which is much easier and much less painful. So we tie that clapper to the side of the bell. And to replace it, we put a little light sensor on the side of the wheel that the bell sits on, that the rope goes over to pull it, and one on the frame. So every time the sensor picks up a reflector, it sends a message to a computer in the ringing room below and it makes a sound of the bell. And we recorded our own bells, so it actually sounds very much
it is the actual genuine
like bell. Our bells when it's in there. And that means we can tie these bells up and we can run a practice without disturbing the neighbours. And that, I think, is a real good thing.
And you also project people onto a screen, is that correct? So that you can.
We can do that, yes. So the computer has images of ringers. So if we connect it to a projector, I did have a screen, but I've worked out the wall works yeah. much better. So we project onto the wall. So you can actually see, if you were ringing on eight bells, the computer will do the other seven bells. You can
because
see the ringers as well.
What people won't realise from being outside the church, I've been in there when you've been bell ringing, there's a lot of body language goes on, a lot of eye body language. I mean, I can't see that well, but even I can pick up on the body language. When it's going right, there's a certain body language. And when it goes slightly off, you know, there's kind of like a tenseness comes in and then everyone cools down a bit when it goes back to normal. But there's a real body language. So I guess it needs to be part of that training system that you can see what other people are doing in the room, that
there
you identify
is.
With that.
You can do it in various ways. I think by feel, because you can feel the rope. The rope's the way that you communicate with a bell, so you can feel where the bell is. You can do it by watching the other ropes, so you know which rope yours should be coming down after. And that's quite, it sounds easy, but that's quite a skill, because these ropes are moving up and down so fast. You really do have to watch carefully. And you can do it by listening. And all of those senses together help you become a good bell ringer. And good bell ringing is where each strike of the bell is evenly spaced out. So if you hear da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da, that might sound nice here, but that's not good bell ringing. It has to be da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. That's all the singing you're going to get for me tonight.
Oh, that's a shame.
Well, my fees just got up. It's doubled.
It's doubled to nothing times
doubled from
two.
From nothing to nothing, yeah. Good.
There's many of you there. So, you know, we won't mention all the names, but just to say a thank you to all of them, really. And we do occasionally see them in the pub, which is nice. But no, they're a great team. Lots of different people. And I think that was part of the film, really. It picked out that there was quite a different variety of people, and the way they did little interviews with them was very good. But tell us some more about the filming, please, Tim.
Right, so we'd persuaded Historic England and the council to give a very small grant, but big for us, towards putting this system in, the simulator. And then Historic England got in touch, and the council, and said, look, we'd like to make a video, because we've seen what it can do, and we think it's pretty good. And they commissioned a company called Wild Rice Films, Grace and Richard run it, to come. So we had a few Zoom meetings, because we thought, well, you know, you funded it, so great, we'll do whatever you want within reason to say thank you very much. So we had a Zoom meeting with them, and they were clearly struggling about what angle to take if you're doing a mini documentary about phones, which isn't enormously boring. So they think, well, maybe we could get a DJ to talk about the relevance of bells to modern music and how that fits in. Or maybe there's a family we could interview. So we kind of set up all of these interviews. But when they arrived, and they were here for 5 days filming, an extraordinary amount of time. They came up from Bristol, stayed in Briley Hill. When they were filming, the first day we took them for a walk along the high street into the market and into Harry's. And they said at the end of that day, we've got it. We know what angle we want to take in this film. So though it's a film about bell ringing and who bell ringers are and why they might find this hobby really enjoyable, it's also about its relationship to the local community. So you're sitting opposite me, Frank, but it seemed fairly obvious. If you want to talk about the local community, go and talk to Look Up Briley Hill. And they came and did an interview with you. I had no idea what you said. I said, well, we went round the market, which to me is the heart of Briley Hill.
Yeah, I bumped into them on the market, yeah.
Yeah, and at the market, they did an interview with Steve, and I had no idea what they said there. They went to Harry's on the high street, did interviews there, and they went off and did a load of other interviews. And I was really nervous because I thought, well, what's this going to look like? Now, bell ringers can be a bit like anoraki, a bit sort of train spotters, you think. I just hope that what they filmed come out really well and there's nothing to embarrass us. Eventually, about a month after they finished filming, I got to see one of the rushes. Is that what you call them?
Yeah, that's right.
See, how cool is that? I know, got to see a rush. And I was really relieved, but I thought it was a lovely film. So it starts off, and I was watching this with Jen, and we both gasped because I hadn't realised what a broad black country accent I'd got. Because, well, I was in a field in Wales. You know, do I really sound
just,
like that?
I'm not just blowing smoke here, but I think you were the perfect man for the job. It's quite funny in places when you sort of knock things over and, yeah, and just carry on regardless. And,
well, one of the ringers was on their ex, when she saw it, she said, oh, it's a really good mini 10-minute documentary. It's like a proper documentary, but with all the outtakes left in.
Yeah, it is. So that's exactly it
was.
What it is.
When I was walking around the market, I think it was Mark's sweet stall, I bumped into and started knocking the display up. And they thought, oh, great, we'll keep that in there, and so on. And there's bits like, there's a little bit of ringing that doesn't go right on the Sunday morning when they came to film it. And you crack, oh, it's just jazz, which only bell ringers would get, because bell ringing shouldn't sound like jazz. But that's jazz. And that's the last thing I say on the video. Yeah. And oddly enough, someone seems to have taken that really seriously.
Really?
And has written to me saying, I'm a jazz musician. Can I come along and record some jazz over the bells?
Email, yeah.
Oh, wow.
It's just extraordinary. So I've got to get back in touch. I have been back in touch. I said, yeah, we're interested. So I need to fix up a Zoom.
Yeah, my apologies. I found it in my spam folder the other day. And I did get back to you and said,
that
sounds great. Let's do that.
So we will see what comes of that. But it was just lovely. And I'm so grateful for how kind the community in Briley Hill were. The lovely words that they said about the ringing in the town. And it is really a different video. If you go and search for other bell ringing videos, once you've looked at the bells of Briley Hill, just go on YouTube, search for the bells of Briley Hill, you will find none of them actually tackle that issue. What's it like? And what is that relationship between the bells you hear on a Friday night and a Sunday and people in the community? And overwhelmingly, they love it. And yeah, I'd say not unanimously, but overwhelmingly. But we do take care to finish at 9 o'clock and not overstay our welcome. But even when it was out on Facebook, I think Positive Briley Hill put it on.
Yeah.
One of the comments there was, does this mean they're not going to be ringing again? I adore the bells, and aren't we lucky to have these bells in Briley Hill? And again, totally unprompted, but you kind of, can't believe someone said that. It's really nice of them to do that. So it's a bit of a different bell ringing video. It's got various people on talking about what bell ringing means to them and how they feel about bell ringing. It's got non-ringers on talking about listening to it in the town and the memories it inspires in them. And it finishes with a great, and I'm going to make you blush here, Frank, a great quote with you saying, you know, the thing about Briley Hill, we lost our steel industry, we keep on getting knocked down, but we just get back up and bounce back again. And I think that's a good analogy for Briley Hill as well.
Yeah, I think it's true, though. I think we do.
It is true.
And we're going through it now with all the roadworks that are going on, and people keep saying negative things about it. People are saying a lot of positive things. But when people say negative things, it doesn't get me down, because I just think, no, I'm going to get back up and I'm going to keep on fighting, keep on pushing forwards. And the whole town is doing that generally, you know.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, it's a good thing.
So, on this video, we, early this year, a renowned ringer, shall we say, Andrew, and his 2 9-year-old sons, twins, George and James, came to join us for our practice. And that's quite a compliment. Andrew's name is actually one of those on the peel board, so he's been around
a good few years.
And these lads have just started to ring again, 2 9-year-olds, full of energy, bursting of energy.
They
and you
are.
See
I can
them when you
for that.
When you see them on the video. And they have learnt so quickly, and that's I've learnt a lot from bell ringing. And one of the things is, you just have to accept that young people learn really, really fast. And their ringing has just come on so much. They are now outstripping me. I can't ring the pieces that they are asking to ring and practice night. Fortunately, with Andrew and Steve and Janet Horton and other people who come across to help us, we have got a big enough band that we can get this excellent ringing for them. But they are super, super youngsters, and I think they're going to be stars of ringing if they keep it up in the future. Mm. But they just look at things and just, like, absorb it. And so what's taken me 7 or 8 years to get to, they did in about 7 or 8 months, and are now even more advanced than that. And it is great. And I think that's the point, that really, from about 8 or 9 up to 70s, mid 70s and older, you can do bell ringing. Mm. But just don't be surprised if the youngsters just go rushing ahead. And just accept it. That's the way life is.
Is it good for your physical health as well? I imagine pulling the bells is quite a physical thing to do, especially for a long, long time.
Well, it's not actually. It is good because you're moving your arms up and down. It's all in the technique. So we ring the bells from upside down and we ring them up to what we call the balance point, a bit like if you're pushing a swing. It'll go so high, then it returns almost to the same height itself. So I'm making all these hand gestures, which is not very good on the radio. But all you have to do then is when it goes up to almost the same height, is just put a little bit of energy back in and it will go back up to the previous height. And that's in effect what we're doing. So you don't have to be enormously strong to be bell ringing. You have to be able to do steps, because that's the nature of the beast. Often these bells are up old buildings in towers. Mm. You have to be able to climb steps, but you don't need to be enormously fit. I'd advise that you wear clothes. Try stretching your hands above your head so you don't frighten everyone with your midriff when you're ringing. Fairly loose clothes. You have to be able to count, because that's how we know where we are when we're ringing in what we call rows. And that's, so count forward and count backwards, because you'll go, you know, in first place, second place, third place, fourth, fifth, third, seconds lead. And, you know, a maths teacher, that was so hard to pick up while I was concentrating everything else. I felt really foolish. And that's another thing that I've learned. I went back into lecturing after I started learning bells, them all these really patient people. And it just reminded me as a teacher, I think I've always been fairly patient with the kids. But from my own experience as a learner, being patient with a learner who just can't see what you can see is a really good thing to do. Be patient and empathise with them. So I think it made me a better teacher when I went back. And there's a good few thousand students in Wolverhampton hopefully gained from that.
Yeah, they hopefully still agree with you.
Yeah, hopefully still. They're all probably sitting there and saying, what?
Yeah, I've got to go into the college, I think, next Tuesday. You're welcome to come along to that. I think 83 Design, isn't it? 83 Design. Coming in to do a talk on branding with the students. So I've got the dates and times for that now. I'll send them through to you. Okay. But it's good to have the local communities coming together to work on all these projects, you know, and that we get people offering their help in such things. And the bells and St Michael's is very much part of that. We've got about 7 minutes that we can talk about things for the rest of the show. One of the things I wanted to talk about was the bells themselves are quite special. I believe they're one of the first sets of bells to be tuned in the way that they were. So if you could briefly tell us about that, Tim, because you know the facts and I only know the stories.
Right, so if you hear a bell, you're actually hearing not one note, but like a chord, several notes together. And the Simpson five-tone method was developed at the end of the 19th century by Taylor's Bell Foundry. And Briley Hill was, I think, the first tower in the Black Country to have these specially tuned bells. And what it means, you get the lowest note, which is the dominant, which gives the bell its key. So our lowest is F. And then you get other chords. So you get five notes that harmonise together with one dominant note and five other ones. And that was quite a breakthrough. And now the Briley Hill bells are recognised as really historic because it was one of the earliest sets of bells produced using this method.
Do you find when you go to other towns and you hear their bells that you can tell what kind of bells they've got and what's going on with the bells?
You can tell that they're different and there's, you know, you prefer some to others, but I think every tower loves their own bells, so I'm not going to go names.
We go to Gloucester Cathedral quite a lot and it's quite a tinny kind of bell there, but it's all set up on an automated system there that like plays it, you know, lots and lots of little bells, it sounds like there, rather than big bells.
After you've searched for the bells of Briley Hill on YouTube, how many plugs are we going to get in? Search for Steel Bells of Moseley.
Oh, yeah.
And I think it was after the war, they did some bells with steel. And they sounded really dreadful. They've got rid of them. They've got a lovely set of bells now. But if you want to hear bad bells, go and search for the bells of St Mary's.
So they're probably made from melted down tanks or something that was going spare at the time.
Whatever it was, it wasn't very angelic. The sound, it just sounded like tin cans banging together. So they quite rightly got rid of those.
I'm scared to get you onto this subject with only a few minutes left on the show. But the graveyard walks that you did last year were very successful. And we're trying to weave that into some projects that we're doing this year. There's the Dan Whitehouse's songbook. Hopefully he's going to touch upon some of those graves and the histories in those graves. And there may be some possibilities for the library to link up with their ancestry software and things that people can start researching graves, which would be really good. But just tell us briefly about the graveyard walks that you did last year and any that you're planning for this year.
Right, so it was really centred around Heritage Open Day. And I'm a believer we have to do something new every year to get people to come into the buildings. So we've done bell ringing and stained glass painting and mini tours of the church itself. But this year I thought, well, or last year it was now, let's have a look outside and see what these graves are and see if we can find out who's buried there. And I don't want to give the game away because I think the first bit is jaw-dropping when you'll remember because you both came on the graveyard walk because you learn these fantastic things. But it was like, I'd done a lot of research into the First World War. And it was like going back and seeing Friends. There's all these characters you've read about from the history of Briley Hill. And there they are, buried in the church.
So when you did the research, you hadn't actually found all of them in the graveyard at that point?
I had no idea they were there.
Okay.
And then using things like the British newspaper article, the research I'd done before, Ancestry, Find My Past, you could find out much, much more about who these people were, the graves. So you can categorise them. There's the policeman who was their chief of police in the 19th century for 25 years and stories around him. Josiah Beckley, who actually paved Briley Hill and put the sewers in, so that was an important start of the story. The guy called the man encased in glass who died when a glass furnace literally leaked all over him, so he must have been evaporated. So I say the man encased in glass is probably like a bone that's left us.
Yeah,
he must have been evaporated. That we, I keep saying, I'm trying to get in touch with Lapworth Museum. Someone called Sir Charles Holcroft, who's the only knight in the graveyard, but was a fantastic fossil collector. And I went across to the Lapworth Museum at Birmingham University, and they were just thrilled that there was someone interested in this fossil collector because so much of their collection, including the display cases, came from this Charles Holworth, so that collector. There's the founders of Royal Briley, which was extraordinary. John Corbett, who's the Salt King and did Corbett Hospital and Chateau Impney. So there's all these fantastic characters, and you can actually tell the whole story of the development of Briley Hill historically just by walking around and telling these characters' story.
And the Corbett Empire was national, wasn't it? I mean, where's that place that we go to?
We went to Abu Dhabi and Tawin.
And he's all over Tawin. Like, he's built all these buildings there and got his name on them.
Absolutely.
And then you come back to Briley Hill and he's buried here.
And that's because he was born down the Delph. And he did, remember, he's very philanthropical. But he made his fortune in salt. And nowadays, because we've got deep freezes, freezers, we don't think much about food preservation, but before the advent of electricity, you had to salt or your beans and your apples, everything, to keep it fresh. So salt was a big, big commodity. And he worked out at the Leys in Briley Hill, the Leys foundry, as well as being a canal boatman, and discovered and invented a way that you could extract salt from water much more efficiently.
He made it more efficient and took over a company that wasn't as efficient. And
exactly, made his fortune.
Fantastic.
Will you be doing more this year?
I think so. I was hoping to do, and I have to apologise, because when we did that walk, I said, look, we could talk about the war graves here, but I'm going to do that another memorial walk. But then two things happened. One is the forum was involved in the poppy collection at Asda. So that took up quite a lot of time. And I just have to say, just the people of Briley Hill are so generous. I was organising a row to them. People who were sitting there collecting money, which I generally hate doing, were emailing back saying what a lovely experience it had been. These customers in Briley Hill Asda were so generous and so kind in what they did. And we raised 6,750 quid in 2 weeks, which is pretty amazing.
And volunteers were amazing.
And then I'll be honest, it just poured with rain. I thought, I'm not going to go out and do a graves walking. So what I'm thinking of doing, and that, I can't promise this, In early July, perhaps coinciding with Big Green Week, is a Love Your Burial Ground Week, which is a national thing. We've never done it before.
Yeah, let's do it.
But I might do the Walk of Memory in that week, so at least the weather's nice. We'll miss the floodlit graves, which we did for the graves at night walk.
Yeah, but do it in the warm.
But we learn.
See how that goes down.
And then Dan Whitehouse has been commissioned to write some songs, and we suggested, look, why don't you write it around some of the characters in Briley Hill churchyard. And I think he's keen to do that, so we might get a few songs.
We've arranged a meeting with him in the graveyard.
We have, but we very carefully pushed it back to about April or May when the weather's
a little bit warmer. Thanks ever so much, Tim, for coming in and for sharing your knowledge. And there's so much more to tap into. We will get you in again. Right, so just before the end of the show, though, we just wanted to mention Lulu. We're going to play a Lulu track at the end of the show. And she's coming to Briley Hill, Justine.
Yeah, on May the 6th.
May the 6th.
The actual real Lulu.
Now, the real Lulu is coming to Briley Hill.
Really?
The real Lulu. Apparently,
must be.
So Coronation Day. Finish off your Coronation Day by seeing Lulu. Just, you know, just check those facts while I'm talking. But we are going to be giving away two free tickets to go and see Lulu via the Baby Bank, Briley Hill Baby Bank. So do check out Briley Hill Baby Bank. We haven't put the tickets on there yet. We'll let you know on the show when they are going on there. But just suffice to say that the real Lulu is indeed coming to Briley Hill. Have you got the dates for that, Justine, or are we... run out of time on that.
Run out of time.
Okay. Well, let it go. It's been on every show anyway, so we will correct that. But go on Briley Hill Civic and What's On via your Google search engine and have a look. Thanks, everyone, for coming in.
Tuesday, May the 6th.
See you next week.